Welcome back to the History of North America Extra. I'm Mark Vinette. The Dead Letter, Chapter 34. Holding hands, they stood at the foot of the bard's grave. Shakespeare would have come to Holy Trinity every week during his childhood, later retirement period, and when visiting during his working years in London. His wife Anne Hathaway, who died several years after her husband, is buried next to him along with his eldest daughter, Susanna. The inscription on Anne's grave states, "Here lieth the body of Anne, wife of William Shakespeare, who departed this life the 6th day of August, 1623, being of the age of 67 years." A Latin inscription follows, which translates as, "Breasts, O mother, milk and life thou didst give. Woe is me, for how great a boon shall I give stones? How much rather would I pray that the good angel should move the stones so that, like Christ's body, thine image might come forth. But my prayers are unavailing. Come quickly, Christ, that my mother, though shut within this tomb, may rise again and reach the stars." Having viewed the graves, Wade released Julia's hand and reached into his shoulder bag to retrieve the ground-penetrating radar scanning device sent to him the day before by Daenerys' scientist. Wade synced the tiny apparatus with his tablet. The screen lit up in multiple shades of gray. Julia watched him intently as he took one step forward and resumed his previous position in front of Shakespeare's grave. Holding the small device between the tips of his right-hand fingers, he looked up, instead of down. He did not point the device at the bard's grave, but instead turned left and slowly walked a few precious steps around the grave's edge toward Shakespeare's funerary monument fixed on a wall alongside his burial place. The monument was a memorial erected to honor the famous wordsmith. Julia stayed where she was, watching her friend's every move. Positioned between the graves of the husband and wife, Wade gazed upward to meet the memorial. Carved in pale blue limestone, the monument was mounted on the north wall of the chancel. It featured a simplistically stiff demi-figure of the bard holding a quill pen in one hand and a piece of paper resting on a cushion in the other. The style, popular at the time of the poet's death, was commonly used to memorialize scholars. It was more suitable for a sepulchral sculpture in a church than a lifelike depiction. The demi-figure had been retouched and restored several times, and was once painted entirely white, later repainted in the colors recovered from beneath the white layer. The figure's short, close-fitting padded button jacket, or doublet, with its ornamental slashes, was painted scarlet and partially covered by a loose academic black gown. The facial features, most likely modeled on a purported death mask of the writer, displayed hazel eyes and auburn hair and beard. The eyes stared, the face was heavy, the upper lip was elongated, and the nose was small and sharp. More revealing than a typical bust, this demi-figure was one of only two representations accepted as accurately portraying William Shakespeare's physical appearance. The monument was crowned with strapwork rising to a heraldic shield displaying Shakespeare's family coat of arms, on either side of which sat an allegorical figure. One, representing rest, holds a skull and an inverted torch. The other, representing labor, holds a spade. Two black polished marble columns support the entablatures and coat of arms above the bust. The skull and the two putti are of sandstone, and the base and capital of the columns are of gilded sandstone. The original red-veined white alabaster frieze, cornice, and architraves were replaced with white marble. The cushion and the effigy were carved of one piece of bluish limestone, while the inlaid panels are of black touchstone. The date the monument was erected was not known, but experts believe it must have been before 1623, for in that year, the first folio of Shakespeare's works was published, prefaced by a poem that mentions thy Stratford monument. Beneath the figure on a memorial plaque is engraved an epitaph in Latin and a poem in English. The words seem to cryptically call on visitors to pay tribute to his greatness as a writer. The epitaph reads, "A Pylian in judgment, a Socrates in genius, a Maro in art. The earth buries him, the people mourn him, Olympus possesses him." Squeezed into the small space below the poem, a few abbreviated words in Latin tell the viewer that the monument's subject died in the year of the Lord 1616, in his 53rd year, on 23 April. Wade's eyes remained fixed on the monument for what seemed like an eternity to Julia. Then, he slowly lifted his handheld device and pointed it directly at the figure in the center of the memorial, and began to scan. I'm Mark Vinette, and I hope you enjoyed the listen. Doctors endorse it, nutritionists recommend it, and customers love it. Calotrin Healthy Weight Loss. Ron in Texas lost 35 pounds. Marie in Pennsylvania lost 117 pounds with Calotrin. Diane not only lost weight, but she also found relief from arthritis. Lynn lost over 45 pounds. Calotrin contains collagen, the most abundant protein naturally occurring in the human body, which decreases as we age. Taking Calotrin promotes better sleep, more energy, less joint pain, and best of all, weight loss. Calotrin has an amazing 86% success rate with their 90-day supply. And this week, take advantage of their President's Day sale. Buy the 90-day supply and get an extra month free, plus free shipping. Ordering is so easy. Just text the word HISTORY to the code 30605, and we'll send you a link to this special offer. Again, text HISTORY, that's HISTORY, using the code 30605.